Vic, did you do this?
Should have tried this before I got up here. Get your Bibles out, Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. Good to have Mr. Blake with us, and tell me your name again.
Amy,
all right. And all the way from Texas, right? And praise the Lord, I'm glad you're here with us today. They wanted to see what it looked like for snow, so they came here. Perfect, no. Town, and praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter number 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. How many have like a major break in your Bible at Ezekiel chapter 40? Anybody see that? General theme, Israel and the land during the kingdom age, chapters 40 through. Does it look different? Is there a big thing in your Bible? Anybody have that? Ms. Calpe, do you have that in yours? All right, good, all right. Something happens in chapter 40. Let's read, take 1 second. Start in verse 1. The Bible says in the 5 and 20th year.
The beginning. We good? Everyone at home just blew up. Our TV's just shorted out. Mr. B, you're going to have to do some work. I don't know. And yeah. Is it still loud?
Yes.
Good. No, I'm sorry. No. All right. Is it too loud? All right. Nate, is that good? All right. Nate will give us a heads up, thumbs up. All right. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 1, in the 5 and 20th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, and the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, and the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me hither, brought me thither. So, what's happening? God comes to Ezekiel and he says, I want to show you some stuff. I want to show you some stuff. Look at what he says in verse 2. And the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was as the frame of the city on the south. He takes him around. He shows him some things. In chapter 41, quickly, chapter 41, he shows him the temple. He takes him through. He describes the temple to him. Chapter 42, chapter 43, he sees the glory of God come down in chapter 43. He sees the offerings, and then he takes him in 44, shows him some of these gates and things, which brings us up to chapter 47. So that's what's happening here, just so we get the scene. God takes Ezekiel, takes him to Jerusalem, he puts him on the city, and kind of gives him these visions. Now, please understand this, that the God of Ezekiel is still the God of you and I today. Isn't that a blessing? That the God of the Bible is still our God today. And he wants to show us some things. And he wants to lead us through some things. And he wants us to get a handle on some things. And chapter 47 is where we're going to land here this morning. In Ezekiel chapter 47, this remarkable discourse happens between a physical example and shows Ezekiel some things. And I thought, man, this is really applicable to us today. So the God of Ezekiel, the prophet, is still very much our God. The principles of the Word of God way back in the Old Testament are still the principles for us today. Isn't that a blessing? That we can open up the Word of God and know that God can speak to us from it. Man, praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your Word. And God, we pray that you'll lead us and guide us. God, we pray that you'll meet our needs here today. And Lord, you know what they are. God, as we follow through the scriptures here, Lord, I need your help. God, I pray that the Word of God would grab a hold of us. And God, it would make an impact on our life, that we would desire it and crave it. That we would see our need for your Word in our life. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As Ezekiel is kind of traveling through Israel there, and God brings him out of the gate, and he says, stand here, I want to show you some things. Chapter 47, in verse 1, afterward he brought me again under the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought me he out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Say, that sounds pretty particular, exactly the way that God was leading him. Exactly. If you read through the book of Ezekiel, sometimes he's got really descriptive words for what he's seeing, and sometimes there's just no words for what he's seeing. And here he's very much describing. He says, okay, we go east, we go, and then I'm going to show you something. And he brings him right up to the banks of a river. Again, we have some fishermen in our midst here today. How do you like fishing? Anybody like fishing? I like eating fish. I like that. You know, they say a bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work. That's great. That's good. But here he brings him right to the, is that right? You disagree? Okay. All right. I've seen some bad fishing days. People, I've seen some videos online, people getting hooks caught on themselves. So I guess that is true. But here he brings them right up to the riverside. And he says, here's what I want to do something. He says, I'm going to take you in. I want you to go into the river. But before that, let's understand what this river represents here. If we look at chapter 47, we just read verses 1 and 2. Jump over to verse 7. It says, now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go into the desert and go into the sea, which bring forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Hey, the waters here, go with me to John chapter 4. Keep your hand in Ezekiel 47. We're going to come back to this many times. We'll look at different verses here this morning. John chapter number 4. These waters were healing waters. Thankful for the word of God this morning. Thankful for the word of God in our life. Thankful for the word of God in our hands. Lord willing, thankful for the word of God in our hearts. In John chapter 4, Christ is having an interaction with a woman, and he says this in John chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into the everlasting life. You know what we've just read there in Ezekiel 47? It says there's a river, there's a water that goes down into a desert place and offers healing. If that doesn't describe the power of the Word of God, man, what a great parallel to a physical thing that we can see in our life to a spiritual application also in our life. Hey, there's times in our life that we just get dry. It just gets dry in our life. It just gets maybe to the point initially that we've never experienced the Word of God in our life, like how God can open up things and reveal things to us and show us about His Son and to be saved. The only reason we know about salvation is through the Word of God. I'm thankful that I came to this and something was satisfied that nothing else in the world could satisfy. That's a hungry soul, a thirsty soul. As I came to the Lord with needs that maybe in your life you've tried to see met by many different ways. Hey, if I just experience this, my soul will be satisfied. And God says here, hey, I got something to offer you that if you drink of this thing, you'll never thirst again. I'm thankful for the source of the water is God Himself. What did he do? The watering produced things. What does he say? I stood on the bank. I saw the water, and all around me were these trees. Growth. The Word of God, when applied to our life, thankfully helps us grow. A growing Christian is one who is in the Scriptures. Not just memorizing dates and numbers and but taking a verses and applying them to their daily life. You want to grow in your walk with the Lord? Take some of the Scriptures and apply them to your life. That's what we see here. There was water, and where there was water, there was growth. Can't have life without water. Makes me thirsty just thinking about it. Probably you too would, but I have the water. The water is the river of life. Water produced fruit. A familiar verse, Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the what? Rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You plant a tree by water, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. Hey, the Christian that gets planted in the Word of God, you know what's going to happen? They're going to grow. Oh, sure, they can fight the principles of the Word of God. I had the privilege of teaching to our teens this morning. I was thinking last night, man, what are some mistakes teens make? And I'm starting to kind of develop that thought in my head things I don't want. And I thought, no, I'm just going to talk to them about the lie of sin. Sin is an awful thing. It has awful consequences. It makes everything worse. That's a principle of the Word of God. If we took a hold of that, you know what that would help us do? Grow. That would help us. That would help us shun sin. That would help us accept righteousness and holiness and godliness. I asked our young people this morning, our teenager, I said, hey, describe for me God, if you would. The first word was holy. You know what? God is holy. You know what he desires of us? To be holy. The only way I can be holy is I take the Word of God and make application to my life. And there the water is. And there Ezekiel is standing by the bank. And he is describing for us what he sees. Ezekiel is not a teenager. Say, how do you know? By his descriptive words. You ask a teenager, hey, how's school today? Good. What'd you learn? Nothing. Ezekiel, what'd you see? Oh, man, I saw the waters coming out of the east. I was standing this way. I was facing north. And then it came out of this way. And there were trees. And there was a bank. And it was this deep. And it took me out this far. And he, very descriptive. Very descriptive. Well, it's helpful to us. Here we are standing on the bank, and we're looking side to side and go, oh man, there's people growing all around me. I'm not like that. Hey, you understand that that takes time. Growth takes time. I was reminded this past Christmas season, years ago, we took some potted Christmas trees and we asked our people, said, hey, if you get a potted Christmas tree, give it to us and in the spring we'll plant it out back. And those big pine trees are people's little potted Christmas trees that we planted years and years ago. We use it for a little bit of a wind barrier. Say, wow, those grew fast. And we look around sometimes and go, oh, I'll never be as big as, or I'll never produce fruit. It's not where, it takes so much time. Hey, but you got to get planted. You got to start somewhere. You got to get into that water, the Word of God. Say, I'm not as far along in my faith as that other person. I wish I was further. Well, get planted by the water, if you would. And then you'll see some growth. God says, I'm the source of that. I'm the source of the water in your life. If you come to me, I can satisfy things that this world is trying. What was the verse in that song that the choir sang this morning? Rich, but not from Satan's wages. Hey, that's a great truth there. They sang it. It was in the chorus. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. Hey, I've experienced some blessings in my life, not because the world offered it to me, but I just trusted God and said, God, I'm going to believe what you say. I'm going to take this Word of God. I'm going to make application to my life. I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to obey you. And however it falls out, God, you know. And God says, I see that faith and I'll bless that. I'm rich. Oh, sure. Both my vehicles have 200,000 miles on them. We live in a house that was built 170 years ago. I am a rich man. Why? Because I took God at his word. I don't have the riches of this world. I have the riches of God's grace. We sang about marvelous grace of our loving Lord. First-hand recipient, praise the Lord. The bank is full. Ezekiel chapter number 47. Watered trees produce fruit. Watered Christians, seasoned Christians that are in the Word of God, you know what they will produce? fruit. Look at verse 12. It says this in Ezekiel 47 and verse 12. It says, "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat." Now, it's not like ham. They're not ham trees. Especially not in Israel. I don't think God would plant ham trees. "But it was the fruit thereof, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth..." What do we see? We see fruit being grown off of trees that are by the water. Again, if we can get the picture in our mind, here we are standing on the bankside, getting into the water or into the Word of God, and eventually, you know what shows up? Fruit. Fruit's the last thing that shows up in a plant's life. It takes a long time. But it's a culmination of feeding and nourishment. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. "But the fruit of the Spirit..." Understand how weighty that verse is. The fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means somebody stood by the bankside, allowed, number one, Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. Then the Holy Spirit of God could take the Word of God, make application to their life. They've grown and some fruit has been produced. And that fruit is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Someone said, you know what? I'm going to put off my worldly desires and I'm going to seek after righteousness and godliness and truth. And God says, oh man, wait till you see what comes out from that. Love and joy and peace. The Bible says in verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." He says, here's what does not belong in your life, and here's what does. How did that happen? Just a Christian standing on the bankside, allowing the Word of God to come into their life, and God, as the source of life, grew them. It's from the Lord. James 1:17 reminds us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He is the source of life. Go back with me to Ezekiel chapter 47. I took my marker out. Man. Didn't listen to my own advice. All right, here we are. Ezekiel 47. So there, Ezekiel standing by the water side. What does he see? He looks to his left side, his right side. What does he see? He sees trees growing, and those trees have fruit. Why? Because they got in on the water. For the Christian, there you are. You get saved. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You stand on the bankside. You get around the Word of God, and then all of a sudden you start to grow, and eventually, you know what you start to see? You start to see fruit. And then an invitation is made. I was so taken with this passage this week. In Ezekiel 47, look at verse 3. "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. This is Ezekiel 47:3. I know maybe a passage that isn't super flashy and super exciting. I mean, we're not seeing axe heads floating and all that kind of stuff and fire coming down from heaven. But I want you to get this principle here. It says, there was a man and he went out and he measured out 1,000 cubits. Cubit is it's an Old Testament, it's a Bible measurement. It's really what it was from the fingertip to the elbow. It's about 18 to 19 inches. So in your mind, if you can get a foot and a half, that's how far it was. So he measured 1,000 cubits. And what does he do? He takes them in verse 3, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. So here Ezekiel is standing on the bankside. He's taking in all this growth, if you will. And there's this man, and he takes him, and he measures out 1,000 cubits. So 1,500 feet. And he wanders out that far from the from where he was. And how deep is he? Benjamin, how deep was he? Did it say? Up to his ankles. Some of you are like, that's about as far in as I go. I like that. That's how I swim. That's where I swim. Ankle, you can't, it's tough to drown in ankle deep water. How many of you are afraid of water? Anybody afraid of water? All right, maybe some. Okay, that's fine. That's good. There's no problem with that. I'm good with it. And there he was, Ezekiel was out. He's out in the water, and the Bible says that he's ankle deep. Man, it's good to get in the water. Eventually, we're going to see, and he goes up to his knees, goes up to his loins, and then he goes all the way in. You know, sometimes those that are all the way in look back and see those that are just kind of on the peripheral at the edge of the water bank, and we think, oh, lack of faith, if they would just get in. But please understand, just getting in the water is a great thing. As you grow in the Lord, as we walk with the Lord, as we sometimes He gets us from the bank side and He gets us to test our faith a little bit and just gets us in the water. Don't think it a light thing to just be in the water. He was only ankle deep, reminding me that the Word of God ought to touch my feet. It's a picture of our walk. The walk of a Christian is guided by the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Again, keeping your hand in Ezekiel 47. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Here Ezekiel wanders out into the water, led by God, if you will. And here we find ourselves, maybe we're saved, we're starting to grow, and all of a sudden God gives us a little nudge. How many of you know what a nudge is? You know what I mean by nudge? Liam, you know what nudge means? It's like a gentle, loving push, right? And that's what God does. We start to grow, and all of a sudden we feel a little nudge. Oh, here we are, ankle deep in water. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith," that's what gets us in the water, "and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Jump over to verse 9. It says this, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Man, what a great thing. What a great thing to look back a little bit, maybe in your life, and go, wow, look at what I once was. And there we are, standing on the riverbank, and the Word of God has begun to infiltrate and penetrate our heart and our life. And all of a sudden, God's giving us little nudges. And here we find ourselves, and the Bible says this, that He went 1,000 cubits. That means He walked for a while before, and it was only ankle deep. And God says, hey, look back at what you were, and look at where you're standing now. You may look at it and go, that's not very deep, but look at how far you've come. Look at how far you've come. Hey, I understand we ought not to, it's not wise this morning. Man, maybe you were white-knuckling it in. Maybe you were riding and white-knuckling it in, as the person that was driving was failed to consider the hazard on our roadways. And as you drive, the best way to drive, they'll teach you in driving school, is to look forward. Not a good idea to go backwards the whole way. Paying attention. It is a good idea to glance every now and then what's around you. When I'm teaching my boys how to drive, when I'm telling Joe, hey, Joe, he's the newest driver in our house. It's a good idea to be aware of what's around you and what's behind you. But we don't stare at the rearview mirrors. God says, how you turned to God from idols. Remember what you used to be. And look at you now. You're growing. You've allowed the Word of God in your heart. And here you are, 1,000 cubits out, 1,500 feet out. Oh, yeah, you're up to your ankles. Sometimes that's about all I can handle. But you're serving the living God, the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. God changed our course. I wouldn't be in the water if it wasn't for the Lord. I wouldn't know the Word of God. I wouldn't have the peace of God and the joys associated with knowing God had it not been for the Word of God. Man, what a change he made in our life for the good. I was telling our teenagers this morning, sin always, always makes things worse. Always. It never makes any situation better. But do you know that the Lord always makes things better? Say, oh man, my life before the Lord, I will tell you this. I don't know all the details. It was worse. The more you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the better your life will be. Say, I got a lot less stuff. Well, praise the Lord. But let's remember what he's delivered us from. Our walk, we're ankle deep, but we're in the water. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden mine. Where should his word be? In our hearts. God leads us and guides us by our heart. Yes, he gets our feet in the water, but it's our heart that the word of God connects with. That I might not sin against thee. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wednesday night we looked in Ephesians chapter 5 and how we are to walk in love. Do you remember before you were saved? Before you met the Lord Jesus Christ, what you thought this world was all about? What your purpose was, what your plan was, what you were shooting for and trying to accomplish with your life? And then you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changes everything. All of a sudden you see what real purpose and real direction is about. You see what eternity means and how our little life here on this earth can impact all of eternity. And you know what? He got us out into the water. Here we are walking, no longer just on the bankside. We're actually walking the Word of God around. Man, what a blessing that is. That God would use. Think about your life. That God would use you and me. Man. And here we are, out ankle deep in the Word of God. But he doesn't stop there. Go back to Ezekiel 47. No, he gives us, Liam, he gives us another little nudge. He says, I want you to get out a little bit further. Look at verse 4. And he measured 1,000. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. Gets out a little bit further. First it was up to his ankles, now it's up to his knees. That's still okay. You can even do super cold water up to your knees. One of the best implications of our knees, we see this in the armor and things. Our knees are a good representation of our prayer life. That's a good place to spend some time with communicating with us and the Lord. On your knees. Sometimes the Lord, I hope you understand what I mean when I say this, but sometimes the Lord pushes us to our knees. He brings things in our life that sometimes make us drop and admire His majesty and holiness, but cry out for help. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. Hey, when confronted with problems, what do you do? The best thing you could do is to drop to your knees. Go with me to James chapter number 5. Let us remember 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. James chapter number 5. Here we are wandering through the, not wandering, being led through the water. James chapter 5 and verse 13, it says this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says what? It availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What happened? Here we see the importance of prayer in our life. As we're growing in our faith, God, number one, gets us just to the bankside to see some. I like that he brings me around people that are more seasoned than me so I can see kind of where I'm going. Wow, God puts examples around us. He brings us little saplings to the creek side and say, hey, I just want to show you what one day you're going to be. Look at this fruit. Look at the strength. Look at the deep roots that this one has. I know you're not there yet, but just stick around the Word of God. Stay right here. And then eventually he gives us little nudges and he gets us out ankle deep to be led by God and the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God in our life. Then he takes us one step further. Takes us one step further up to our knees, where prayer becomes an essential part of our growth and our walk in the Lord. All too often we treat prayer as a get out of jail free card. God, I've got myself in a world of mess. I need you to help me right now. Had we been talking with the Lord all the way along, chances are really good we probably wouldn't be in that circumstance. A Christian's walk with God is directly parallel to their prayer life. You find a strong Christian, you find a Christian that knows how to talk to God and listen to God. What is that? That's getting up around your knees, out into the water. That's where Ezekiel was at. He was being nudged along in his, hey, when you feel the nudge of God leading you to go deeper in your faith, don't resist that. This past summer, we had the great blessing of going to the Outer Banks. Outer Banks is a beautiful part of our country, and there we were down in North Carolina, where we were staying in this big house. My brother-in-law rented, and he just said, hey, we got extra rooms if you want to come down. Man, what a blessing. And there we were, and we were walking distance to the ocean. It was beautiful. And there's these little kids, and you'd watch the waves come in, and the kids would run, touch the water, and all of a sudden the wave would come in, and they'd run back onto the shore. And sometimes that's how we treat our faith. As the Lord pushes us and nudges us along, all of a sudden we sense that water a little bit. Experience that we've not experienced before. All of a sudden it touches our toes and our ankles and, oh, I'm out of here. No, stick around. Hey, get a little further out. You feel the nudge of God in your life as you get out to the ankles and now out to the knees and here developing a prayer life for the Lord. I ask you, how much time do you spend in prayer with God? Are you praying for others? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's the connection to the Word of God. What does he say? Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Hey, as the Word of God makes an impact on our life and in our heart, you know what? Natural next step is? Prayer. As we talk to God and we see what God wants from us and we see the direction of God, hey, I'm going to need an audible voice and direction. I'm going to have some cares and concerns that I need to bring directly to the throne of God. Hey, there's going to be some mercy and there's going to be some grace that is going to be needed. And I need to be able to talk to God. There's going to be needs that are all around that I'm going to have to go right to the source for. You don't see that till you start getting out a little bit. Why is prayer time such a hard thing to convince Christians of? Because they're not out in the water. If we go back to Ezekiel chapter 47, he goes one step further. I like pork tenderloin. I'm just saying it. I do. I like it. I eat it. But when it said loins here in the passage, I had to remind myself of where the loins are. So I'll tell you, you have this like floating rib, the last rib, from the last rib up to your like pelvic bone. So about here. Okay, we got it? We're good? Demetrius, you see that? Okay, good. All right. So that's how deep he is now. That's what it says in verse 4. It says, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters and the waters to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, right? And brought me through the waters were to the loins. That means a move of the water and it's pushing me. See, when I'm just in the ankles, I can handle that. I'm still in control. Even to the knees, maybe it'll make you buckle a little bit, but I'm still in control. When you start getting more of your body in the water than out of the water, you really pray to the movement of the water. This is a picture of our service to God. Go with me to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. And we just have one more point after this. Luke chapter number 12, starting in verse 25. We're going to read a few verses here. Luke chapter number 12 and verse 25, it says, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? I'll tell you, you cannot. If ye then be not able to do that thing, which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Say, what are we talking about here? I think it makes it really clear in verse 28. O ye of low faith. He's not talking about grass and things. He's talking about our faith and trust in God. To lead us along. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubt of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you take your life and serve God? Why don't you just take the things that you have? Hey, don't worry about your stuff. Take your stuff and serve the Lord with. And look at verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Girded about. Hey, that means you're in up to your waist. If you were placed, Benjamin, in up to your waist in mud, you'd be stuck. Stuck. Hey, if we were in up to our waist in the things of God, as we serve Him, as we give Him our things, as we expect God to fulfill His end of what He says. Hey, it says that when we serve Him and we give what we have to Him, He takes our efforts and our service to Him with a pure heart, and He sets some things aside in heaven, and we can look forward to those days. And you know what? It makes us want heaven even more. Makes us want to see those things even more. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. As we serve the Lord, as we get out in the water up to our loins, let's consider our service to God. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 13, it says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, as we serve the Lord, as we do what God tells us to do, hey, that gets you out pretty deep. That's going to get you into some deep waters. As we serve the Lord. You know what? That tells me many a Christians are just satisfied with living on the bank. I'm just good right here. I'm just going to take it all in. I'm just going to watch the, and sure, there's growth there, but you understand that great blessings are had when you start getting out into the water. Your ankles, your knees, your loins. Oh, let's look at this last thing. In Ezekiel 47 and verse 5, you've been very gracious this morning. Ezekiel 47 and verse 5, it says, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. I was overwhelmed. It was too much. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And God says, I got some special things out there for you. Look at verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish. Hey, you want to get the big fish. You know where you got to go? Way out. Oh, again, we were in North Carolina there at the Outer Banks, and these little fish, when the tide or the wave would come in, these little fish would just swim up, and all the little kids were trying to catch them with nets. It's cute. It was fun. We tried for hours. Did you get any? You got two. Good job. And there they are. But then there were these guys with poles. How tall? Like. No, stop. They weren't that tall. They were very tall fishing poles, though. And they're standing out there, and they're way out in the water. And they're taking these things, and they're casting them way out. Why? Why aren't they catching the little? Because they want the big fish. They want the big results. They want, you know what? It takes a lot of risk. And you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to put yourself in maybe in a situation where, God, if you don't got me, I'm in big trouble. But out here, there's things that aren't at the shore. There's things out here that you'll never see at the shore. He says, you're going to need to bring a net out there. And all too many Christians just get satisfied with just living at the bank. Hey, I'm glad you're on the bank. I'm glad you're in Christ. I'm glad the Word of God is getting in you. I'm glad you're up to your ankles. I'm glad you're getting to the knees. I'm glad you're experiencing up to the loins and serving Him and giving Him things. But if you really want to see God work, allow the Word of God to take full control of you. That's where the big results happen. That's where God shows you big things. Say, feels like I'm drowning. That's exactly where He wants you. I don't feel comfortable. Exactly. He wants you to rely on Him. Ezekiel had this beautiful picture. He got to see the temple. He got to see all the gates. And he says, here, I'm going to show you something. Let's go out this door. Right? There he was, standing on the bankside. Looks to the left, he sees trees and fruit. Looks to the right, sees trees and fruit. And also, oh, up to my ankles. And again, up to my knees. I ask you here today, where's your faith? Hey, I'm glad you're at the bankside even. You're surrounded by growth and those that have gone on before, and you can learn from their examples. But are you satisfied with just standing on the bank? Hey, you understand it's going to take faith to get out there. Get to your ankles. Get to your knees. Get to the loins. And then being under the full control of the Word of God in your life. The Bible says it could not be passed over. Inexhaustible. He says, but I got some great results out here that you'll never see back there. You know, we stand by the bankside and we see these guys coming in with these giant fish and go, how on earth? Because they went out. They trusted God and said, God, I believe your word, and I'm going to allow it to change me. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to walk by faith. Get me out to the deep water. Can I encourage you this year? Here we are, January 2nd, 2022. Could this be the year that you say, God, I don't want to just stand on the bank anymore. Can you get me out to the deep water? Let's all stand.